Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Would you clap your hands in an ovation of praise and thank God? Hallelujah. It is good to be in church. It is good to be back. And I am thankful for all those that filled in while I was gone and while we were on trip. And I'm thankful that we're back in church today. And I'm looking forward to this Wednesday, what God will do here at 7 o'clock. Be faithful. And remember, we have kids club taking place as well. God is good. Can you say amen? Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Now, over the next few minutes, as we walk together in the Word, I'm believing in the Holy Ghost that God will speak to you and that God's going to say something to you and remind you of some place in your life, something in your life, possibly someone in your life that was the nudge of the Holy Ghost, that was the leading of God to bring you to a place of salvation that possibly at the moment you did not realize it was the hand of God. You did not realize it was the correction of God, the judgment of God, the mercy of God at work, but nonetheless, it was. And somewhere over the next few moments, I believe while I'm preaching that God's going to resurrect that memory and bring it back to you so that you know that the hand of God that was at work then is still at work now. I look back over my life at the encounters of my life, and I am here today because of people and places and things and the purpose of God at work in me that have brought me to this place. And I am thankful for every step that has led me to this point, even those that would feel and seem adverse, because God can take what seems to be adverse to us and use it for the purpose of His glory and His ultimate great name and our life being magnified and our salvation. And I am thankful that our God is faithful in such a way. Can you say amen? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, in verse number 11, of Jeremiah 30, and I am so glad for everyone that's here. Our guests, it's good to have you in church, and it's good to be together. Amen. To save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Now walk with me in the Word for a few moments as we talk about in measure. In measure. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that your Word is faithful and it is just. And God, we can find the kindness and the mercy of the Spirit in it and through it and through for salvation. And I pray, God, that you would anoint us all, every family, every home, every marriage, every couple, every individual, every life here today. That God, you would help us to see your hand at work and that we might have a response to that hand at work in our life, and that you would be glorified through it and we would be saved because of it. And so, Lord, I pray, speak to us now. Let there happen a quickening of the Holy Ghost in this house, and let there be the proclamation of truth in somebody's life for salvation, repentance, and baptism in your name and fit in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe in it, and I thank you, Father, that we are here for that purpose today. And so, God, I pray, anoint everyone, touch their minds, even if there's not complete understanding. God, I pray that you would I pray that there would be a witness of the Holy Ghost, that you would move within them and help them to know it. And I believe in these things, God, and I thank you for it. Would you magnify God right now? God, anoint us, baptize us, anoint me to preach your Word. I give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving, God. How good you are, how wonderful you are, Lord. I love you, Jesus. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It was the prophet Jeremiah who said of God that it is because of his mercies that we are not consumed. Look at it, if you would, please. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Those were the words of one who was not saying them out of speculation or out of possibility, but from one who had firsthand knowledge, a front row seat to what God could and would do. He had heard the voice of God, and he had often viewed the hand of God at work. He knew without doubt that what God said he would do, he in fact would do. He had felt the fire of his word shut up in his bones. He had recognized his wrath and yet seen his tender mercy as well at work. So when he said that he recalled it to mind and it in turn gave him hope, it was coming from a perspective that was clear. It was coming from a vantage point that had clarity of the greatness, the goodness, and the power and the authority of God at work. That should arrest our attention. That should make you and I recognize as saints of the Most High, people that sit within proximity of the Spirit, service after service, that should bring us to an acute awareness that there is a certain responsibility. There is a certain awareness that should be in our life that because we are afforded, everybody hear me right now, that we are afforded a certain proximity with God, a certain proximity in our world, in our land, in church, that there should be in that proximity a response from you and I because we know God so intimately. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We're here, we're alive, we have another day to get it right, and it's all because of God's mercy. Every day that you live, every day that you breathe, every day that you exist, it is because of the mercy of God. His compassions do not fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It was almost as if he was convincing himself and you and I, trying to say in so many words, to get up, try again. There are new mercies for us. It was almost as if he was pulling back the flesh and letting us see and understand that it's God's mercy, so arise again. You may have failed, but get back up. It may have been bad, but his compassions fail not. Calling the wayward one who is weary in their walk and feels as if they have failed one too many times, saying, you may have failed, but his compassions do not. What gives clarity to those words of Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation are the words that he had previously said in the 30th chapter of the book, identified by his name. Look at it again, if you would, please. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. God said through him that there would come the time that he, God, would make a full end of the nations where he had scattered his people, meaning simply that God would bring the judgment. He would pour out his wrath. He would finish what he started, and he would ultimately defeat him. Everybody hear me right now. While we preach and we embrace and we endorse, and I believe that, you know I teach that and talk about the mercies of God greatly from this pulpit. At the same time that I'm talking about the mercies of God, it cannot be that we forget the judgments of God. It cannot be that we are blinded so much by the mercy of God that we forget that we are serving a requiring God. We are seeing things. I talked to you about it here about a month ago from this pulpit. There is the ultimate day of judgment that will come to the world. But right now, while we are not at that day of judgment, the day of judgment that will ultimately be, we are seeing the judgments or the consequences that are present because of the eternal God at work in this world through his word and the obligation of it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. But God said through him that there would come that time that he would make a full end, that ultimately he would do, meaning simply he would do what he said he would do, but not to his people. He would not make a full end of his people, but rather he would correct them in measure. In other words, God in his mercy would correct or chastise in a measured way so as not to defeat or discourage or destroy his people in the process of that chastisement. He instead would lovingly, yet with purpose, correct us in ways that would ultimately save us. The judgment of God would be restrained by the mercy of God. The book of James said it this way. Look at it if you would, please. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy rejoices or triumphs over judgment. It is because of his mercies that we're not consumed. God today rejoices in mercy. God rejoices in giving you and I in this world mercy. Have you taken time? Hear me, Pentecostal. Hear me, saint of God. Hear me, believer today. Have you taken time to think about that no matter how holy or righteous or together we may think that we are, there is no amount of good in us that could ever measure up to the holiness and the perfection of God. That should take us, that should sober us to the place and take us out of the judgment seat to where we look at others and we condemn them or we judge them for their way or for their life or their lifestyle or however we feel about them, because none of us in this place could ever be good enough. We could never have enough morality in our life. We could never have enough righteousness in our life. We could never have enough holiness in our life by our own means and by our own power. If you and I are holy, if you and I are righteous, if you and I are saved, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us at Calvary. Come on, you're not going to work your way into this. You and I are not going to work our way into salvation. If you and I are saved today, it's because he loved us so much that he has given us mercy beyond measure that we have not deserved. You and I are not consumed by the fire of God's wrath today because he is correcting us in measure in ways that you and I are able to receive it and tolerate it and ultimately, in time, respond to it. If you would please. God's mercy is about restoration, not rejection. God is not looking for ways. Everybody walking with me, you all right? God is not looking for ways to make it difficult for people to get into the church. God is looking for ways to make it easy for people to get into the church. He's not looking for ways to keep people out of heaven. Do you believe that? He's not looking for ways to keep people out of making it to heaven. He is looking for ways to open the door wide for people to make it into heaven. His mercies are new every morning. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Come on, God is not against you. God is for you. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You are looking at a church today, or at least part of the church. We had a service just about an hour or two ago, and there's some people online watching it here this afternoon, and you here today, you're looking at a church, whether here or out there, can I tell you, that has been saved by grace. Not perfect people, people that have messed up along the way, people that have fallen, people that have stumbled, but oh, thank God for his mercy. Oh, thank God for his patience. Oh, thank God for his grace. That's for every one of us today. The brokenness of our life, the fractured areas where we are contrary and carnal, God corrects us to restore us. God does not correct us to destroy us. He corrects us to restore us. Each time you hear the word of God preached, it's the saving work of God in pursuit of you and I. Do you understand that? Every time that you come into this place, you may feel like that there's not the obligation, but every time that you come into this place and you hear the preached word of God, the taught word of God, it is the pursuit of God to save your soul. With each prayer that we pray, it's the working of the Spirit in us to keep us connected to the source of our strength. That's why we pray, thy will be done in earth, not on earth. Why? Because in this earthen vessel, you and I, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thy will be done in earth, not on earth. Little can change on this earth if there is first not a course correction in this earth. And too often, we try to reverse the process within the church. We try to make there to be the course correction on the outside before there is ever a course correction on the inside. It does little good for there to be the display, because that makes, everybody stick with me now and don't get lost on this. When we see external changes in people's lives, that makes us feel better about them and about ourselves. When the truth of the matter is, there should be a change that happens in the heart first. Because if I'm doing this because of fear of man or fear of the pulpit, then it will not be out of love. It will be out of a response that is not dedicated to the word and to the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? With each grip of conviction, we are corrected to conversion. Every time that there is a conviction, it should be that we are corrected in measure to a place of conversion. In other words, a change, a course correction. When I feel conviction, it causes me to respond. And that response brings me to the place where I am converted, because that is what repentance is about. Everybody hear me right now. That is what repentance is about. We often underestimate the importance of repentance. Repentance is a resolute turning from our sins. It is not just a pacifying of our sins. Come on, I didn't talk about this in the last service. I'm gonna talk about it here for a minute. Repentance is not just a pacifying of my sins, to come down to the altar and to soothe my conscience with the balm of Gilead, so to speak, so that I can walk away and feel a little bit better about myself. True repentance is a resolute turning from the sin in our life. We're making a decision that we're going to walk away. We're making about face. Repentance is about face. It's about turning away. Come on, don't hurry the work of repentance in your life. Let it be that God grips you with repentance so that there is the complete cleansing of the spirit in obedience to the word. When you have a conviction, when that conviction happens, then there's a corrected conversion. Look at this next one, please, if you would. Conviction without conversion will turn ultimately to confusion. If I don't convert after I have a conviction, after there comes a recognition, you can't just sit and do nothing with what's being preached right now. There's got to be a response on the other side of it. If there is not a conversion, if something doesn't move, if something doesn't change, if something doesn't happen with it, then ultimately you're going to become confused. Because you cannot sit idly by in the presence of the Savior and do nothing with Jesus. There's got to be that identification, and when there's that identification, there's got to be something that happens in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I've talked about this so many times, it feels a little bit worn out, but it's still applicable on this pulpit today. When the salutation of Jesus came to Elizabeth from Mary, the Bible says that the babe John leapt within the womb of Elizabeth. Why? Because whenever there is the salutation of truth, whenever there is the salutation of the mighty God in Christ, whenever you encounter, amen, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, this word of God, which is all one, there's got to be something that moves and leaps within you. Somebody say amen. And so, there must be the conversion or you'll be confused. Many profess one thing, but live another. What we treasure in our heart will ultimately be what is brought out of our heart. We know that by the word. With each word preached or taught, with each prayer that is prayed, with each conviction that converts us, we are corrected in measure. Now stay with me here. It doesn't happen all at once. You may think that you're saved and that little else needs to be done with that encounter with God, but the word said, whom the Father loves, he chasteneth. He chastens. That was plural. It's repetitive. It's again and again and again and again and again, over and over, season after season, day after day. Whom the Father loves, he chastens. He keeps doing it in measure, not fully, not pouring out his wrath completely, not bringing the judgment all at once, but in measure. He corrects us. Are you following this right now? Because salvation is a process, a lifetime lived, however long or short it may be. It's the enduring to the end. It's the course correction little by little. It's the measured correction of God, the measured chastisement. In measure, he corrects us. When I rode the bus when I was a kid, Mark Summit and I rode the bus for years together. I saw Mark at your concert, Brother Hughes, back last year for your work concert, and got to spend a little bit of time. And then Mark and I rode the bus, and some of you will remember Mark Summit used to come to the old church. Mark was born blind, and he had some other disabilities that he dealt with. And if you recall the old church, Mark would come up, play the piano, and sing. And I've known Mark all my life, rode the bus with him, and we were friends. And I was glad to get to spend a few minutes with him down there that day last year. And he and I are about the same age, but he and I rode the bus together. And our bus driver's name was Big Jim Cowden. Yeah, he went by Big Jim. He was a big man. He was a gruff man. He didn't say a whole lot. Pretty much the only words I ever heard Jim say was, sit down. And he said that repeatedly to me. Sit down. Had that angle on them. You remember those angles on those bus mirrors? It was like the all-seeing eye of God. They could see everything going on. If I'm probably saved today because of Mr. Helton and Mr. Cowden. And I probably got in a lot of trouble because I sure heard him say, sit down, a whole lot. I was a little too active on the bus. But nonetheless, Mark rode the bus, and Jim hauled Mark all those years. And so Mark would get off the bus and he'd step off, and he was blind. And Mark would walk around the front of the bus to go into his house. Well, every now and then Mark would get off step a little bit and he'd turn too soon. And as he stepped off the bus, he would turn and he would walk into the front of the nose of the bus that was sticking out too far. And so Jim, he just got to where, and Mark knew, Jim would, uh, He'd sit there with his hand and he'd just go, beep, just a little bit. And Mark would take a step sideways and go around the front of the bus. All would be fine. Jim would just watch him every time. And whenever he was just a little bit off his step, beep, and Mark would walk around it, all would be well. I'm thankful that I serve a God today that just every now and then, beep, when I'm a little out of line, when I'm out of step, he doesn't lay on the horn. He doesn't write me off. He doesn't cast me to the side. He doesn't break the vessel more. But in love and compassion and mercy and grace, in measure as I am able to tolerate it. Everybody getting this? God knows what you can deal with. God knows just how much to allow to come into your life to just to nudge you back. Look at it this way, what the word said in Jeremiah 31. It said, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me. And I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me and I shall be turned, for thou art my Lord, my God. You understand this? Jeremiah continued on and he revealed the nature of God to us in his loving way, in his loving correction. Chastised, corrected like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn me and I shall be turned. That yoke, that unruly beast had that oxen, that unruly beast had the yoke put on and little by little, yet slight yet significant correcting to bring the bullock back in the way that it was to keep. That's the way God, David said it this way, that he tries our reins. He pulls us back, correcting our wayward walk. When I get contrary, when I get wrong, when I do what I should not do, when I find myself unfaithful, when I find my life stepping out of line, God in his mercy will turn me with the yoke. Take my yoke upon me. It's light. My burden's light. It's not difficult. Why? Because that's the loving nature of God. He corrects us in measure. Not fully at one time. He brings us back to where we need. Come on, you are sitting here today because of the mercy of God at work in your life, that he did not write you off when you failed. That when you said what you shouldn't have said, or you did what you should not have done, when you were contrary to him, when you were sinful and you were wrong, God didn't cast you aside. No. You know what he did? He brought you back in. He corrected you lovingly, put you back to where you need to be. Why? Because that's the nature of God today, to save us and for us not to be lost. Little by little, yet significant corrections to bring the bullock back in the way that it's to keep. That's how God turns us. He tries our reins. Like a horse, he pulls us back. Turn me and I shall be turned. If it's done by the love of the Lord, everybody hear me on this right now. If it is done by the love of the Lord and for the love of the Lord, we shall be turned, we will learn, and we will love, and we will ultimately respond. But if we turn because of others or fear of them, somebody across the pew or the pulpit, come on, I hope you are not living for God today and doing the things that you do today because you fear this pulpit or you fear me or you fear somebody in the pew. Because if you are doing that, then it will not be sincerely aligned with the word of God. It will be done out of works of the flesh instead of works of the spirit. But if you're living the life and responding because you love God, if we turn to him because of the love that he has for us, then we're going to be saved by that measured correction of God. That nudge you felt. Everybody hear me? That nudge you felt in the Holy Ghost, that was the measure of correction from God. That stirring in your heart when you heard something or seen something that was not pleasing to the Spirit, that was the measure of his correction. That word preached that revealed the wrong to you, that was God dealing with you in measure. I'm telling someone today, we are here today because of the measure of his mercy. He gave it to me just what I needed. He became the portion of my life. And there needs to be a stirring. We sang about it a moment ago. There needs to be that resurrecting of the Holy Ghost in our life that we feel the churning. Everybody hearing this right now? We need to be able to feel the turning, the moving of the stirring of the Holy Ghost within us that convicts us. Come on, when was the last time you felt the quickening of the Holy Ghost? When was the last time that God convicted you? Stick with me right now, all right? When was the last time that you felt the quickening of the Holy Ghost in your life because you were looking at something that you should not be looking at? Because you were listening to somebody or something that you should not be listening to? Or you were getting ready to post something that you should not post? Or say something that you should not say? Or be something that you should not be? Because every one of us in this place today, can I tell you, we are prone. We have a propensity to those things that we lean to, that nature, that carnal nature. And it is only by the restraint, the reins of the Holy Ghost that pulls us back to the place of salvation, that keeps us from being or doing or saying whatever it might be that would cause us to be contrary with the Spirit of God in our life. There needs to be that active work of the Holy Ghost. Hati, there needs to be that active work of the Holy Ghost within us, that we feel it. I recall when I was a kid, teenager, I've talked to you about it before, this particular instance, but let me cite to you something I have not talked about so much. I went to a place called Rack and Q. It was not a bad place. Some of you remember, some of you don't. It was not that bad a place. It was not that great a place. But it didn't matter how good or bad it was. My mom and dad told me I shouldn't go there. And they were the loving dictators in my home. And so that was the rule. I needed to stay underneath that authority line. And that is a complete message for another service. But nonetheless, I went and I got home. I told you the story before I got home. My dad knew about it before I got there because a guy by the name of Tom Sims, who was a police officer detective here in town, was a neighbor, good friends. Tom heard that I was there, called my dad, said Tracy was there. I got in trouble and I thought, you know, God knew everything. I thought they knew everything and God had told them. We know God knows everything. Nonetheless, beyond that moment of reprimand from my father, when I walked in that place, I felt a quickening in my spirit. Not because it was so bad or so wrong, but because I recognized by the Holy Ghost that I was doing something that I should not do in obedience to my father and my mother. Are you following what I'm saying right now? There should be that same, and that while that's a physical instance and it might seem simple to you, still there should be that sensitivity in our life right now, especially right now, that we are feeling a sensitivity in the Holy Ghost to learn to hold our tongue and to watch what we're putting in front of us constantly and how we're feeling about things and how we're letting things grow in our life. Come on, we need a rebaptism of the Holy Ghost and fire to purge us and to wash us and to cleanse us again more than we have ever needed it before. Because there are going to be people lost in this present day because they have not responded to the measured correction and mercy of God at work in their life. Come on, you need to pray today. God, I want to be easily dealt with. God, I want to be easily convicted. God, I want you to speak to me when I need to be spoken to and help me, God, no matter what, to be saved. That stirring in your heart, that was the Holy Ghost. And we are here today because of the measured mercy of God. If you would, musicians, come. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The word was saying here simply, don't resist the correction of God. Don't listen to the lies your flesh and the devil will tell you that you don't need to change or you don't need to restrain yourself or somehow to be just distracted from the correction of God. Don't listen to those lies, because when we do so, we forsake the very mercy that God is extending to us through that measured correction. It's through his mercy that he will use things that seem, everybody tune in right now. It is through his mercy that he will use things that sometimes seem uncomfortable to be ultimately those things that save us. Because God can use that problem or that pain as a means of measured correction to bring you into his will for his glory and our ultimate salvation. Do you understand that? Because if we understand that and submit to the sovereignty of God in that way, it will make our living for him much more peaceful and much more joyful. When we recognize that God can use that problem, that God can take that pain or whatever it might be, and he can use it as a means of correction to bring us back into alignment with his word and with his will for his glory and our salvation. Because the same storm that brings the wind to oppose you as well brings the rain that grows you. Whom he loves, he chastens. God loves you so much that he's not willing. Somebody hear me right now. Somebody think back. Somebody feel it for a moment. Think back to that moment where it was uncomfortable. Think back to that sermon you didn't like, but it saved your soul. See, think back to that time in your life that you didn't understand the pain or the problem you were going through, but it forever marked you and changed you. Think back to that person that you met or that you encountered in your life that you thought was just a mere happenstance. It might have been just coincidence. No. It was much more than that. It was the hand of God putting them in your life so that you could ultimately be sitting here today, so that you could be saved. Because God can take all those things, those seemingly small, insignificant things, and be a part of the yoke that turns me, and I shall be turned. Keep turning me, God. Keep letting me feel it. God, keep letting me hear it. I don't want to ever get to the point to where I'm not pliable in the Spirit, to where I can't be dealt with. God, help me to be preached to. God, help me to be taught by your word. Whom he loves, he chastens. God loves you so much, somebody please hear me. He loves you so much that he is not willing to leave you alone just so you can remain comfortable. He loves you so much that he will do whatever it takes. Hear me. Whatever it takes to save you. Because he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so you may have thought it was meant for your harm, but really God meant it for your good. Because that's how he deals with us, in measure, to respond. He'll allow his measured mercy to bring the thing that will ultimately drive you to him. I have prayed the prayer. I have lost count of the times that I have prayed the prayer. I'm done. But let me say these final things. I have lost count of the times I have prayed for the Van Dievener, where I prayed, Father, whatever it takes, I want to be saved. I don't know how many times I've buried my head in a pew or an altar and I prayed that prayer. Do you realize that when you pray that prayer, there is ultimately going to be the fruition of that prayer? How many have prayed the prayer that David prayed? Search me, try me, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Well, the only way often that we can find those things that are lying beneath the surface is for there to be the sifting, so that ultimately they come to the surface and we can deal with them. But we prayed that prayer, Sister Martha, we prayed that prayer, God save me, whatever it takes, save me. Well, when we pray that prayer, we are releasing the sovereignty of God in our life. We are, whatever we bind on earth is bound. Man, I feel like I'm preaching the whole Bible today. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, or whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. When we pray that prayer, God, do whatever it takes to save me. We are opening the floodgates of heaven for there to be that onslaught of mercy to bring us to the place of salvation. And by whatever means that God sees fit to do so, we have prayed the prayer of search me, try me, know me, see if there be any wicked way. Then all of a sudden we wonder why the calamity, or we wonder why the chaos around us, or the pain or the problem. Well, it could be. It could be the answer to your prayer to be saved no matter what. It could be the answer that God is giving you, that if there be any wicked way, it's brought to the surface. That God allows all the trappings to be stripped away, and finally we see and we realize, I've got to get that out of my life. I've got to change that. I've got to do this. I've got to go there. I've got to be that. Because that's how much God loves you. If you really want to be saved, he'll do whatever it takes to save you. And that's the way I feel today. I don't know about you. Whatever it takes, God, don't let me be lost. Whatever it takes, God, I want to make it to heaven. Anybody feeling that prayer right now? Search me, God, try me. Come on. If my attitude's got to change, God, deal with me about my attitude. If my habits have got to change, God, help me to see the wrongs in them. If I've got to change the way I've been, Lord, help me to be convicted about it. Come on. I need somebody to begin to pray as they begin to sing all over this house. Would you do that right now? Whether you want to stand or kneel or sit, that's fine. But I'm asking everyone, amen, do something with Jesus right now. He's correcting you in measure. He's giving you mercy in measure. It's the result of it today in your life because you're here. He's being patient with you. Hallelujah. Come on, there's no wasted space in God. He's working all things. We are complete in him, meaning everything about you, God is about it. For your ultimate good and his ultimate glory. Come on, somebody accept that perfect love of God that he has for you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody repent and be baptized in his name today and be filled with the Spirit. All over this place, we need to be praying right now, church. Whether you're standing, kneeling, sitting, amen. Make that pew your altar. Hallelujah. Come on, friend, you don't have to understand all this. You may not understand all this. Just have faith and call out to Jesus. He's your hope. I'm not alone, God.